Hey guys, I'm Michael Fry, and you're listening to In Conversation with me, Michael Fry, Colm, and Gavin.
So, hello, and welcome to In Conversation with. Yes, we are back somehow in these very strange times. I know that's really cliche to say, but in these very strange times, we are back with a brand new episode of the podcast. It's a bit of a weird one, Gav, isn't it?
It's a bit weird. I think it should be In Conversation with webcasts, like CWW or something. Because it's the new normal things.
This is it. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we love doing these interviews. That's why we've done so many. So we were always going to try and find a way to get around the current restrictions that are in place. And so this is as close as we're getting. So we hope you enjoy. And without further ado, we'd like to introduce our guest. You may have caught him on Twitter with many different sketches and such, from a phone call to his beloved friend Catherine, to impersonating Aidan Gillen, our beloved Miggledy. You've definitely seen this guy if you're on Twitter. Mr. Michael Fry.
Hello. Welcome back to In Conversation with me, Michael Conversation. I don't know. When you started the podcast, I thought that's what you were doing. And I was like, oh, this is going in an odd direction. So.
That's brilliant. My first question. Are we going to call you Michael?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You've done your research.
We have.
Yeah. So as my followers would know, or as my kind of regular ones, the OG followers would know, I've not always used the name Michael. And that was like, initially it was a decision because I worked for Tourism Ireland, and they had a very kind of strict social media policy. And I didn't want to kind of, you know, associating myself towards the world while I was doing all these stupid sketches, or do you know what I mean? And some of them were kind of satirical, or some were kind of political, if you know what I mean. And obviously, you can't be like that when you work for a public body. So I was like, right, I need to pick a different name. And because I was using the name Michael in so many videos, I was like, oh yeah, I'll just do that one. And I was already Big Dirty Fry, so Michael Fry is the result of that. But I kind of wish I picked a cooler name, like Xander, or like, I don't know, some weird, do you know what I mean? Like, because it's such a,
I think it works. And like, yeah, like you just did there, I love when you say like, welcome back to such and such with your host sus and such. Like, I mean, that's a nice little continuous joke that you have going, so I think it works. So yeah, for the benefit of Mr. Michael Fry, we're not going to disclose any other information other than that is what his name is. Okay, so first of all, Michael, the first question I want to ask you is, how are you dealing with all this? I suppose it's the first question on anybody's lips when they're interviewing this, but what's it been like for you in terms of your work, obviously, and just in general, how have you been finding isolation?
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think for people like me, for like digital clowns like myself, now is like peak time to be making stuff, because like, we're not competing with TV really, we're not competing with, like, there's no kind of big series on at the moment or whatever, and I think people are just looking at social media a lot, like they're online all the time. So I mean, we've a captive audience there that we didn't really have before, and I mean, we're able to make stuff that's kind of current as well with very little. So I mean, it's good for that, but in every other sense the world is like, a global pandemic is never a good thing. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, personally, it's been okay. Like, I moved back home to Ireland. I was in London for a while. I still have my job from London and stuff. I'm just home for the duration of this. And it's been okay. It hasn't been a big deal at all. And we've kind of, you know, there's like three or four of us in the house here working, and it's been all right. But yeah, just it's so weird. I keep waking up every day thinking, like, how did this happen? You know, I never predicted this. Like, it's not something, you know, because we've watched like zombie films and stuff like that, and you just think things would be a bit more dramatic or whatever. And this is, I just never thought there'd be a time where I wouldn't be able to go outside. So yeah, just really bizarre. But I suppose everyone's kind of feeling that, and I'm actually pretty well off, or, you know, I'm okay in this situation because I can still work. Whereas, you know, lots of my friends who are full-time comedians or musicians or whatever, their income's destroyed now. So it's kind of, you know, I can't complain at all.
Yeah. It's definitely weird talking to people. You know, a lot of people are saying that we never kind of imagined us doing our part to help the world by doing nothing. Kind of doesn't seem quite right. But Michael, in terms of just quarantine, how's How's everything going in terms of just content creation? Are you looking online and getting inspiration from different people, or?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. I just kind of I'm making it the same way as I always did. I feel a bit of a pressure now because everyone's looking at me, or everyone, you know, I feel everyone's looking at me, or everyone's looking at social media to make more. But at the same time, I only want to make stuff that I'm actually happy with and proud of, and you know, I'm laughing at it, you know what I mean? So like nothing's really changed in that arena. I suppose, like, because I have less going on in my life, there's going to be less to talk about or less to joke about. Do you know what I mean? Because like when you have a day to day, when you have an actual life and a social life and all that kind of stuff, you pick up inspiration from different places. Whereas now it's like, okay, I'm at home. I might listen to Liveline, or I might watch something on TV and find something through that. But like, yeah, it's a bit limited as opposed to before. But I mean, there's still stuff all the time, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned there. So everybody's eyes are on social media. We are spending a lot of time on social media. One of our former guests, I'm just using this as an example, Darren Conway, has seen an explosion in growth in his social media channels. Have you seen a similar enough, like more engagements, let's say, with people online now that people are kind of stuck indoors?
Yeah, I definitely did at the start. So I did a video doing like an alternative Loose Women theme tune, which Stacey Solomon retweeted, and so did Denise Welsh, and it just went everywhere. So I had this huge spike in March when all this was happening, and like I did stuff around you know, being locked inside or whatever. I did like a coronavirus song and all this sort of stuff, so there's all the stuff that was really current on the news, you know what I mean? So I definitely experienced this massive jump in followers. Like I had I think I had like 23 at the start of this, and I'm near enough 30 now, so that's even just over 2 months, which is crazy. Like,
so Michael, in terms of your social media, when do you think it got to the point where I was like, this is real, really weird. This is not what I expected at all, when, you know, your tweets started spiking in terms of interaction and engagement?
I think it was after, it was the Derry London Derry video. That was kind of the big one, because it was so weird. And it was kind of something I put up and I thought, because I had success before that with a couple of the news talk things, but nothing huge, nothing like massive. And then I did that one. I put my phone down. I was like, look, I've had fun. I might get 4 favorites on that. I might delete it later. And I turned my phone off, and I turned it back on like an hour later. And suddenly there was these people who like never really interacted with me that much, being like, this is the best thing ever. It was like Blind Boy retweeted it. It just kind of took off. And then I was like, Jesus Christ, okay. And then people found the News Talk ones through that one. And then suddenly it was the snowball effect, where people were coming through my profile via Derry London Derry and finding other stuff. And then suddenly there was an article on like Joe.e, like a listicle of like all my recent sketches. So I'd maybe done 6 or 7 at that point. And I was like, oh, fuck, okay. People are paying attention to this. This is enough of a thing for somebody to write an article about it. There's another one like the Irish Post as well, like a very, very similar kind of thing. And then at that point I was like, right, I better tell my parents about this, because they're going to find it. So I had to come out to my parents as a content creator. So I don't know. Yeah, so that was kind of, it was that period when it all kicked off. And then, yeah, I think after getting the job at Joe as well, that was when it was like, oh shit, okay, I can actually make a career, I can make a life out of this, or I can, you know, get a job in media like I always wanted to, instead of kind of coming in via a marketing route or doing tourism or whatever, just to get bits of it, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's actually something I was going to ask about in terms of like explaining your job to older generations who wouldn't be as aware of, you know, content creation and digital clowns, as you said yourself. Were there any kind of weird conversations that were had in terms of people just not really understanding what it was?
Not really. I think like the Joe job was at its core kind of social media management. And I think people understand what that is now. Do you know what I mean? So if I say, right, I look after, I coordinate their social channels or whatever, like I don't anymore, but like when I did, that's what I said. I, you know, I look after their Instagram, I look after their Facebook, I do client stuff, I do that sort of stuff. So people understand that. So it wasn't a huge deal. It's when you talk about like memes, and when you talk about sketch shows and stuff like that, and you tell people what you did that day, that people are like, what is your job? You know, that kind of way. So, yeah, I don't know. It was, I think we're getting used to the idea of social media being a proper job, because when you have a business where you have, you try and market stuff, you have to use social media. So like everyone's aware of it now. It's not necessarily a new thing anymore.
So you mentioned at the moment, I think there are so many great Irish content creators, like such as yourself. Like I mentioned Darren before, like Justine Stafford as well, who obviously does her work with Joe. It must be a really exciting time for you, just seeing this great growth. Is there any others there? I mentioned some favorites of yours.
Yeah, well, Darren is a personal favorite of mine. Like I've never met Darren. I'd love to work with Darren. I think he's brilliant. But yeah, Tony Cantwell, I think, is amazing. I've always been a big fan of his. And yeah, I think you kind of mentioned Justine's great. Keira Knight used to sit beside me and Joe is very good. She's not a video creator necessarily, but very funny on Twitter. I'm trying to think of anyone else who I'm, you know, properly excited about. But it's Ryan Carrick is good. I don't know if you follow him.
Ryan's in DCU as well as us. He doesn't do the same course as us now. I think he does journalism. But yeah, he's a very, very funny man, I have to say.
Yeah, I saw his Normal People sketch there the other day. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. So but I mean, there's people coming up all the time. I think a lot of people have like one off things they do as well. So yeah, I don't know.
Just in terms of your own sense of humor, Michael, who would be some of your favorite comedians, favorite comedy shows? You know, what are some of your favorites?
Yeah, I think I had this conversation with people recently enough about like kind of formative stuff. So when I was younger, I used to love like Little Britain. I know it's like not particularly PC anymore, and it's aged quite badly in certain areas. But like, I thought like some of their, like, I don't know if you've ever seen that the Mr. Man sketch. You know, the guy who comes into a shop. And the guy shouts upstairs to Margaret or whatever. And it's always like really strictly formatted. I love that kind of stuff. I really love League of Gentlemen. It's really dark, really, really weird. And then in terms of comedians, I think like Kevin Bridges, I love. Joe Lycett's great. David O'Doherty's fantastic. Yeah, I don't know. I was a huge Family Guy fan when I was like 14 as well. But I think I've kind of aged out of that. Do you know what I mean?
I
don't know. Maybe it's the new ones. I don't know what it is. And then American Dad, I think, is great as well. Like anything kind of animated, like Futurama, I think, is probably one of my favorite shows ever. And that kind of encapsulates my humor. Like it's bizarre, but it's still at its core a workplace comedy. It's still something very standard. So I like that kind of stuff.
In terms of just Irish impressions, Irish stereotypes, you know, I think maybe a decade ago, you know, there was kind of one Irish stereotype. But now with content creators like Darren, yourself, you know, there's many different Irish stereotypes and kind of impressions you can do that people kind of relate to. Like, right? I imagine like the North Side, you know, the posh D4, and then even like the Irish Mammy. What's your favorite? What do you really get a kick out of doing?
Oh, I love doing like radio stuff. I really, really do like doing the radio voice and doing like, because everything's so strictly formatted, or like there's always just the same people ringing in all the time in different guises, if you know what I mean. So like, I love doing that. I do like doing the Irish Mammy because I feel like it's a particular Irish Mammy, if you know what I mean. It's just like a middle-class woman who's from the country, like that kind of way. But like there are kind of Mammy-isms, and a lot of it's very cringe. Like when you talk about like wooden spoons and immersions and stuff like that, it can get a bit trite and a bit kind of done. But like, it depends on how you do it. Like if I'm doing an impression of, say, my mother's friends or people I worked with, it's a bit more specific and it's a bit kind of fresher then. But yeah, like Darren, for example, he does this character who's like a psychopath. And like, it's just like, you know, your man Anto, I think, in that video where he's like getting a can of Coke or something. And he's just like, it's that guy in school that you kind of have to be wary of. You kind of have to humor because he's always on the cusp of like killing someone, you know, that kind of way. Like, and I'd never seen that before. So I thought that was really fresh. But in terms of mine, yeah, I suppose it's only that the Irish Mammy in terms of stereotypes that I do, I guess, and then the media stuff.
I have to say, you said there, and you are right. I mean, like, kind of, did you leave the immersion on humour can get very played out if you do it enough times. I think, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what you've been able to do with that, the mother on the phone to Catherine bit, is reference more contemporary things to make it fresher. Like, I love the Lonely Fans thing. Like, that was a lovely little reference that, like, people will get. It's a contemporary, talk, like, quite talked about thing. And it makes the bit fresher. I don't know if that was a conscious decision you made, but it really added to the piece.
Yeah, I think in that one, I guess I was playing to my audience. So, like, I've a lot of mutuals on Twitter who have OnlyFans accounts or do OnlyFans. And I don't know, it was just kind of a thing where, like, oh yeah, they'll like this. So that Ashlyn character, like the mother's daughter, is kind of based off people I follow or who follow me, if you know what I mean. I think they do get a kick out of that. So, like, they're all kind of, they do OnlyFans, they're also maybe communists, and they have like a boyfriend with a septum piercing and stuff. Like, so I don't know. I think that's just played off a lot of people that I guess I know. So I don't know.
Okay. Speaking of impressions, I want to zone in on one in particular that has cropped up on your Twitter feed many a time. Mr. Aidan Gillen. Some people might know him as Littlefinger in Game of Thrones, as John Boy from Love Hate, and a multitude of other fantastic characters. He's just a brilliant actor. When did the Aidan Gillen, or the knack for the Aidan Gillen impression first kind of reveal itself to you?
I don't know. I think, because me and my brother had been watching, I think it was Batman, you know, the Dark Knight Rises or something, and we'd seen him in a few other things, and we started doing the voice to each other. And I was like, I've never seen anyone do this in, like, on Twitter or on social media. So I was like, I'll do it, fuck it. Like, because, like, he's in everything. He's in loads of stuff. Like, he was in The Wire. He was in Game of Thrones. He was in, like, huge TV shows. And he's in Peaky Blinders at the moment as well. So I was like, right, I have to do it because I can't see it anywhere else. So I did it. And everyone's like, oh, my fucking God. Like, that's, like, because he's so weird. And that's why I don't understand why no one else has done him before. Like, I think he's brilliant. I really, really like his stuff. But he's just ridiculous. I think he's as close as we have to, like, Nicolas Cage in that, like, he's a good actor and he's capable of really good things. But then he'll just move in a really odd way, or, like, he'll just say something really weirdly. And it's that kind of intonation or whatever, like the line, the chaos is a ladder line in Game of Thrones. No one talks like that. Do you know what I mean? It's a chaos is a ladder. Like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, so I was like, why isn't anyone taking the piss out of this man? I'm going to do it. So I don't know.
And has it led you to any encounter with Aidan Gillen as of yet? Any meeting or any message?
I am terrified of ever meeting him because I know he definitely knows they exist. He's definitely seen it. And the reason I say that is I met someone at a festival who seems to, he goes to college with like his son or something, and they referenced it. And then Robert Sheehan favorited the Moon Cream video. And I was just kind of like, at this point, like, there's no way he hasn't seen it. And I don't know if he likes it, and I really hope he does. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, if he's offended by it, that would destroy me. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. If he likes it, great. I'd love to do one of those joke interviews where I interview him as Aidan Gillen, and it gets really intense or something. But, like, I don't know. That's a pipe dream, I think. You know?
Yeah, it's a line you have to tread, I think, because, like, we've talked to a couple of impressionists before, Al Foran and Connor Sketches, and they both kind of admitted that they'd be scared to meet some of the people that they take the mick out of. Like, Connor, I think, has done Gerlach Nan in front of Gerlach Nan, and I think Al Foran might have done Mike Tyson to Mike Tyson's face, I think. And, like, it takes a lot of bravery because, I mean, if you get good enough at it, soon enough you can be face-to-face with the people that you're taking on.
Yeah, I did see that clip where he was on the Sunday game and he did a really good impression of Davey Fitz to Davey Fitz. And, like, I'm afraid of Davey Fitz. I'd never have thought to do that. Like, do you know what I mean? So, like, I mean, fair play to him. Like, he's doing fantastically for himself, Connor Sketches. I mean, he came from Joe as well. But I mean, the stuff he's doing with golf, like the kind of heights he has reached is absolutely crazy. Like, and he's lovely. So, like, yeah, fair play to him. Like,
yeah, I think something Connor said that really benefited him is that he tapped into a niche that hadn't necessarily been kind of, you know, explored yet, I suppose, in the golfing impressions. And I suppose a lot like that is what a lot of comedians try to do. You have to kind of make yourself stand out. You have to try and find that knack to kind of reach a very specific audience.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I do, and that, like, I pick stuff that's kind of unique to my own experience or stuff that I know really well, because otherwise you're copying people or you're trying to jump on trends and stuff like that, and that's never a good idea. It's never as authentic or as fresh, I suppose.
Michael, of course, we know you for your short form content, and you've done some longer form content as well with Joe with Big Dirty Fridays. So in terms of just longer form content, even maybe stand up or something like that, is that something you've thought about or have worked on?
I did a stand up class briefly, and I don't know if it's for me. And the reason for that is, like, I don't really do stuff as myself. I do things as characters. And so it's kind of a bizarre that I haven't thought about who Michael Fry is. I've thought about who, you know, Michael Celebration or Michael Yay or whoever the fuck else. I've thought about who they are. But I've never thought about who I am as a performer, as a comedian. Like, so I don't know what my persona would be doing it. And then I also quite like the idea of doing something that's a bit kind of out there. So I don't know if you guys know Hannah Mamelis. But she basically does stuff that's kind of a bit audiovisual. So stand-up, but it's also stuff with like blow-up dolls or like clips or like, you know, that kind of way. Or like David O'Doherty uses music or whatever. So I don't think I'm just a straight stand-up person. I'm not a Kevin Bridges or a Joe Lycett. I'm more of, I think I'd like to do other stuff. I think I'd like to do characters. I'd like to include other elements in a show rather than just doing straight stand-up. But I haven't really figured out what that's about yet. I did go to London with the intention of kind of exploring that area, but then the coronavirus happened, so I don't know, didn't get very far. So yeah.
Michael, so this question is kind of a two-parter. So are you kind of a goal-oriented person? And if yes, then what are some of the goals that you kind of have in mind? Or like maybe, I know it's a very cliche question, but like where would you like to see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think, the 5 years time one is it's so unpredictable when it comes to like technology, social media, all that kind of stuff, in that like there might be a platform that comes about 2 years time that is perfect for me or like really suits what I do. Like TikTok wasn't a thing even 2 years ago, and now that's massive and there's people coming up through TikTok. So it's kind of like, I don't really know where that's going to go or how that's going to go, but I just, the way I am now, I definitely just see it getting bigger. But where I want to go, I don't know. I'd love to do stuff with TV. I think that's everyone's kind of goal when they start doing comedy or whatever, is to end up on TV. I think there's still a legitimacy there, even with RTE or even with BBC or whatever. So I would love to do that. But goal-wise, yeah, I had the follower goal. I was kind of like, okay, I'd like to have 30,000 by June, and I'm nearly there. Like that, I have those kind of small ones. But I guess it's hard, because like it's only been 2 years since I started doing these videos and everything has changed like dramatically for me in those 2 years. I don't know how to look ahead, if you know what I mean. So I guess just keep going and keep working with different people and answering phone calls and answering emails or whatever. And eventually I'll pull on a thread that leads me somewhere good.
Great. Michael, in terms of, you moved to London, was it at the start of this year?
Yeah.
I listened to your interview with Mario Rosenstock, and you're very critical of Dublin and the housing market, and you wanted to get out basically just so you could work creatively in London. So I guess the two-part question in terms of just asking about how Dublin was for you, and then what London was like in that time you were there.
Yeah, I mean, Dublin, I don't know. I think it affected me a lot, because I'm not from Dublin. I'm from Navan, if you know what I mean. So I lived up for college, and I had to change flats every year, if you know what I mean. It just got more and more expensive. And I do remember when I was in second year, I turned down a double room in Drumcondra for €420 because it was too expensive. That room was probably €800-900 now because it was in a nice house. It's absolutely insane what's happened to the property market. Like if you think about just how people are supposed to live, if you know what I mean, even if you are at top of your game. I was living with a guy a couple of years ago, one of my flatmates, and he was an SNA, and obviously good at his job, really dedicated or whatever, but couldn't afford to live anywhere nicer, even though he was in his 30s, like that kind of way. And it's just kind of crushing people and pushing people out, to the point where people decide to move, or they just decide, right, fuck this, or we're going to have a whole generation of people with no savings and they won't be able to buy a house or whatever. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I remember seeing this tweet from, she was a singer, and she said, like, oh, you know, 10 years ago I could do a weekend gig and I would cover my rent, or I could do two nights in a pub or something that would cover my rent and I'd be able to do whatever else outside of that. That's impossible now. Like everybody has to have a full-time job. So I think we're missing out on a huge amount of art and a huge amount of performance, a huge amount of like really good kind of culturally enriching things because people can't afford their rent. And it just disproportionately affects kind of young people, which is just insane. And then families as well, obviously people growing up in fucking hotels at the moment or whatever. But I mean, there's just this focus on multinationals and like tourism, if you know what I mean. And it's this kind of thing of like Fine Gael and the government saying, oh, we're doing well according to these figures or whatever. But it's like, okay, the figures are good, but you can't house your population. You've 10,000 homeless. Do you know what I mean? You're not actually a functioning economy. All right, you've gotten to the end where you're making a profit, or you're in surplus or whatever. But like, that means nothing when people are fucking dying in the street. So like, yeah, I don't know. I'm pissed off about the way things have been handled over the last 10 years. And that's why I just decided, right, I'm tired of getting on the bus to Dublin all the time. Like, I mean, I had to move out of my house because I couldn't afford my rent last June or whatever. And just the toll commuting takes on your social life, your personal life, on your health even, is insane. And we expect people to do that every single day. There's people coming in from Galway. I had a friend who was coming in to college in Dublin, and she lived in Cavan. So she's doing a 2-hour or 2.5-hour fucking bus journey in, like 2 days a week, whatever, and then sleeping on sofas for the rest of the week. And it was just like, this is insane. So yeah, London, look, it was hard to get set up, but it's not as hard as Dublin. And, you know, I don't mind paying the same, because it is the same level of rent, it's the same amount of money, when you have a city that has everything. You have functioning public transport, you have, you know, it just offers so much more for the same price as it would be to live in Dublin, which, you know, has 2 trams and the rest, like, it's just a bus network or whatever. So it's just fucking, I don't know, it just made sense to get out, if you know what I mean. Even though I didn't, it was never a thing where I was like, oh, I really want to leave Ireland. It was kind of something that, oh, I'll maybe do that, but I like it here. But like, I just felt pushed out in the end.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to you in that sense. I'm from Cavan myself, and look, I was in 3 different houses during my 3 years in college. And I'd have to get the 109 up, and that's 2.5 hours, and then you'd have to get a bus. And it was only in my last year there that I was just a walk away from college. The previous years I was either 1 hour away or 2 buses away, and it was just so inconvenient. And as well as you said about social life, it was only really in my last year that I was able to, you know, I had this opportunity cost of things I wanted to do in my life, because I couldn't go to this thing because I had to go home. It would take 1 hour to get home, and it'd be 1 hour back up and stuff like that. And especially with what's happening now, I don't know how college students are even going to have any social life.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a gap as well between like rural and urban. And there always has been, but I think it's more exacerbated now, where like, say if you're from Longford, you have no choice but to move up to Dublin. And if you can afford to do that, if your parents can afford to do that, great, you can go to college. If you can't, you just can't go. You can't go to college. That's it. There's more people that is happening to now because of fees and because of rent than there was before. There's also like, I have a lot of friends from Dublin from, you know, quite wealthy backgrounds as well, who didn't move out of their parents' house until they left college and maybe did a master's or whatever, or maybe moved to a different country or whatever. But like, their parents never had to pay that money. So like, they're already one up, if you know what I mean. They already can do, they can afford to do the unpaid internships or the shittily paid jobs in Dublin. Whereas people from Longford or from further out can't do that. They have to get something that's paid. And so you end up with people who get ahead because their parents have money or because they lived in Dublin, which is wrong. Do you know what I mean? I think that's further exacerbated than has ever been before.
Do you think this pandemic has been awful, and the deaths and the cases have been awful too. But do you think one positive that we might be able to take from this in a few months' time is the return of some properties to the rental market, now that Airbnb kind of seems to have gone down the crapper and tourism is basically going to be an inward-focusing industry for the next few months?
Yeah, I mean, it does. It makes you disappointed that it had to take a global pandemic for anyone to take any action on Airbnb or those kind of things. I would hope that it's managed in a way that kind of means that people can get back on their feet and people can rent somewhere that's affordable, if you know what I mean. But I just don't know if we have a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government, if that's going to happen, because I just feel like the door will be left open for Airbnb or for multinationals or whatever. and for tourism to just overrun everything. So I don't know. I'm hopeful that something happens and something helps. But I, at the same time, I don't know. I really, really don't know.
Michael, just in terms of content, you obviously seem to be a bit politically minded. Have you ever thought of maybe doing more serious content in that way?
I haven't really. I mean, I do. I did the odd kind of political impression. I've done Eamon Ryan a few times. I've done like Mary Lou McDonald. I do kind of take the piss out of Fine Gael a good bit, I think. I think I've done kind of like fake Leo speeches. And like, I don't know, I did an impression of Leo Varadkar there recently enough as well. I think because it's what I'm interested in, it's what the kind of content that I consume anyway, it is going to invade what I do. But I, you know, sometimes I do avoid being overly political because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to alienate people. And it is quite nice just to be on the outside kind of taking pot shots in sometimes rather than kind of being in the thick of it and supporting a party and doing all that kind of stuff. The only one I've done one that was like a direct satire and a bit of a bite at somebody. And it was one with like Dennis Nocton, where I actually had him pretending to be him on the phone or whatever. But that was, I generally avoid kind of doing that. And I generally avoid doing impressions of real people because, I don't know, I don't want to get embroiled in a political argument, you know? Mm.
Right, so Michael, I think we're going to wrap up soon enough, but I'm going to rob a question from this video project I've been working on with a few friends. I've just been asking them how they're getting along with isolation, but one of the questions I am asking them, what's the first thing you're looking forward to when lockdown is over? When I know we have our different stages, but when we get back to normal or as close to normal as we're ever going to get with this pandemic, what's the one thing you're looking forward to?
Oh, dying for a pint. Like, I'm not a big drinker, but Jesus Christ, I really miss just going for a feed of pints, like just fucking going out all night and staying in a pub. I miss concerts. I miss going to festivals and stuff. Like, I just miss that kind of social element to it because, you know, that's just gone, you know? And you could do Zoom calls and stuff like that, but I really miss having an in-person conversation with people or whatever. Yeah, that's what I really miss the pints. Not to be too very difficult about it, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Brilliant. Gav, do you have any final questions to wrap up?
Not really, but Michael, thanks very much. Okay. Stay safe and all the best. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.